When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Now, listen, they want me to say hello, welcome to the James Whale Best Bits of Tonight's show, which you can hear every night, Monday to Friday, on Talk Radio from 7 till 10. But I said, wouldn't it be best to call it the Worst of Whale? So have a listen, see what you think.
The James Whale Show.
Come praise the whale
on Talk Radio.
There's still some people very frightened. And, yeah, of course, lots of schools could open today, whether they did or not. Depended on what the head teachers felt, but a lot of people demonstrating against it in certain fairly left-wing areas.
And they're only getting half education because they're doing half days. For my nieces, they're getting half a day, and then the other half, so they're only getting half their education.
Let's talk to the former schools minister, Lord Andrew Adonis. We normally only talk to Andrew about his passion for HS2, but let's talk about this. Andrew, good evening.
Good evening, James.
Thousands of primary school pupils returned to lessons this morning, but many stayed home over fears that the lockdown had been relaxed too soon. What are your views on this?
Well, I'm glad to see that the majority appear to have gone to school from what the BBC's been reporting today. And that's important because this was a voluntary act. There was no requirement to send children to school. And I think it's an enormous tribute to the head teachers and the teachers who gave such confidence to their pupils that there would be proper distancing arrangements, support arrangements for staff and so on in place. And I know a lot of work has gone on behind the scenes by teachers, head teachers and support staff to make that possible, including a lot of communication with parents over the last week. And that has, I think, given parents the confidence to send their children to school. And what I would expect to see happen now is that steadily more parents will send their children to school as they see that it's safe. So though, as you know, I've been critical of the negative attitude of the teachers' union, I think we should pay tribute to the teachers today who have, let's be frank, most of them have done their job. And they've done it in very difficult circumstances. And let no one say that it's not difficult, because, of course, trying to work out how, you know, before we've got a vaccine, how you can actually see that you have children in fairly close proximity, because that's the nature of schools, whilst making things as safe as possible. That's been a big job of work, and I pay warm tribute to the teachers who have done so much to make this possible so that children can come back today.
I do too, but I'm slightly concerned about this kind of dour and negative attitude from some of the teaching unions. And it has to be said, a number of teachers as well who seem to have whipped up public support for them saying, oh, no, it's too rushed and it's, you know, it has to start. And people have started going out a lot more. I mean, whether or not we should condone the Brighton beaches and various other, I mean, absolutely packed solid in Bournemouth. I've never really seen anything like it. But I think also we have to take into account, because we live in this country by democratic means and not dictatorship. I mean, if the people are beginning to get fed up with the rules imposed, then they're not going to obey them, are they?
Well, I think it's very striking that most parents do seem to have sent their children to school, where they're in the age groups where schools are able to cater for them. So I think what's happening is that the people and the teachers are overwhelmingly behaving responsibly. Now, we are, as you say, a democratic society, and you're never going to get a consensus. And to be blunt, I mean, you mentioned the unions. Well, I would also mention the government. I mean, how can I put this diplomatically? Boris Johnson and his government haven't exactly inspired confidence in their competence, have they, in the last few weeks? And that's
been the context in which schools
have been operating.
And of course, you were a Labour Party minister, but you say that. I think they've done a sterling job. I think that they've actually, in one of the most difficult situations we've ever faced, apart from war, I think Boris Johnson has rallied the troops.
He's quite clever, isn't it? He's done nudging rather than forcing people. He's nudged the population. It seems to have worked.
Hold on. Where is the trace and track system? You know, this is the big thing.
Hang on.
we do Andrew, expect the government to be able to do basic things which only a government can put in place.
Andrew,
it's the people who take the decisions about whether or not they're going to go to work, but they can't put in place a whole national testing system. And if you look at what's gone wrong in this country compared to the best governed countries, like Germany.
Who's the best governed? Germany,
just had,
right.
They've had a testing regime which has been out of all proportion more competent than ours has been here. So I think there are big questions to be asked on the part of the government.
Well, okay. We won't fall out over our discussion about Boris and the Conservative Party, because sometimes I feel you'd be more at home as a Conservative member, strangely enough. But
I'm very happy where I am, James. It's very, very kind to be so concerned about my welfare.
No, I don't think I need to be concerned about that. Andrew, nice talking to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, mate. Lord Andrew Adonis, former Schools Minister.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
Ministers have been warned the quarantine that is about to be imposed on arrivals to Britain will kill the travel industry. Lisa Minow, travel editor at The Sun. Now, Lisa, hi, good evening.
Hi there, good evening.
Is Minow the proper pronunciation?
It depends if you're me or my husband. I think, as it's a French Huguenot name, it's Minow.
That's what I thought.
Minow, yes.
Minow, I thought that, yeah.
My husband is East End born and bred, and he says Minot.
Yeah, Minot.
Minot.
Yeah.
Well, we will call you Lisa for this interview.
Yeah, yeah.
What are your thoughts on this? Do you think that this, self-isolation or quarantine or whatever you want to call it goes ahead, do you think it's going to put a lot of people off going away?
I think it definitely will put people off going away. I mean, who's going to go on, you know, a lovely little week's trip somewhere to have to use up 3 weeks of their holiday to do it? And it's also unworkable. Nobody has yet confirmed how they're going to check on people, who's going to be doing the checking even. And as you see, you've got this groundswell of not just the travel industry who are going to be devastated by it, but also we've now got, you know, MPs saying this isn't going to work. It's too little, too late. We're sort of, you know, opening the stable door after the horse has bolted. It's pointless doing it now.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think they should have stopped people coming into the country when they decided to do lockdown. But still people were able to come in, not just people who've been stuck on a holiday somewhere or working abroad who wanted to get back. But people just seemed to come in without any checks.
Well, that's right. And if you're going to do this sort of, you know, the idea was that they basically abandoned the sort of contact and trace system very early on. That now means that, you know, unfortunately, we've got these quite shocking figures. The problem is, you know, we may be desperate to travel abroad this summer. What I'm thinking about now is if we get rid of quarantine, that's great for our inbound tourism. But I'm also slightly worried about who's going to want to come either into Britain or what other countries are going to want to actually accept us.
Because we have been banned, aren't we? We're banned travelling to certain countries at the moment if you're from the UK.
We are at the moment, yes. And they're basically saying that, you know, wait and see. We're not talking about doing any of this, I don't think, until July. The laws came in today, the quarantine law came in today, or the quarantine regulations, whatever they are, came in today. They vowed to look at them again in 3 weeks' time. Now, that takes us up to the first week of July. And I'm hoping by then that sense will have prevailed and maybe we'll start seeing these air bridges where we have corridors allowed between countries that have got similar levels of coronavirus infection. But right now, we're not top of anyone's list of countries to let in.
No.
The problem is, I mean, I would quite like to pop over to northern France and, you know, have a few drinks. I quite like doing that and then coming back on the same night. But I don't know that I'd want to go anywhere in an aeroplane.
No.
I don't like going in aeroplanes very much, not because I'm scared, just because I don't like the way people are in close proximity.
Well, the air's bad as well, isn't it? You're breathing everyone's air for a long time.
Well, I mean, so what we're doing is...
I can debunk that slightly in the, you know, the air on a plane is actually better than air that you will get on a tube train or a bus.
Yeah, and we don't go on those either.
Filtered.
But in the old days, when you could smoke on a plane, you got fresh air, constantly oxygen put in. Now they actually filter the air, don't they?
It's exactly the same stuff they use in hospitals. So those same really safe filtration systems. But that's still not going to get over the fact that some people are going to just feel that it's not right to be, you know, hundreds of miles up in a bloody steel tube.
Yeah. I mean, who's going to want to go on holiday, actually, with the risks?
I think there's definitely going to be a lot of people who are worried. A lot of people who are older, perhaps, who've been self-isolating because they're scared about, you know, they've seen the devastation that the coronavirus has caused. But I think you've then got an entirely different generation that are just desperate to get on with their lives.
Yeah.
They want to go back to Ryan Upper. They want to go to Ibiza.
Yeah. Lisa, thank you very much indeed for your time. Lisa Mino, travel editor at The Sun. Thank you.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
So it is, of course, the SpaceX launch successful now. Musk now must now sets his sights on Mars. He wants to get put people on Mars as well. And of course, the other rocket landed safe and sound back. Our great friend Andy Lowndes, space expert. Now, Andy, have you come down from the excitement of Saturday?
No. Oh, it always remains still exciting because it was a spectacular launch. It was nice and smooth, which is what we wanted. No, and of course, he had the docking on yesterday, of course, which was very exciting to see. An automatic docking. This is very important. Those people remember watching the film Apollo 13 will remember the well shown in the film how the Apollo spacecraft had to dock with the lunar module, and it was a manual operation. A pilot had to guide that spacecraft very gently into it and make the hard dock. It was partially a soft dock, then the hard dock is where the grip pulls it and twists it into shape. This was fully automatic, absolutely staggeringly. And it was interesting because it showed you how slow it really moved. You want to do it very gently. I think it was Neil Armstrong said it wasn't about the right stuff, it was about the light stuff. Gently and do it very carefully because you don't want to make any sudden moves on it. But it was a very interesting operation, and a lot of people commented that it took them quite a long time after they docked before they got from the spacecraft into the space station. But this is test flight, and this is why it's very exciting, because we're now seeing the procedures that they have to go through. They're double checking procedures. And I thought something, this is why it's really good for people when this is streamed live that people could watch. When they'd actually, before they want, there's three doors to open. You've got your two airlock doors on the space station itself, and you've got, of course, the door on the space capsule. Yeah. And, of course, the doors on the space station, they're going to depressurise it, the doors were open. But, of course, they're not going to open the capsule yet till the pressure is equalised. And it was very interesting going through the checklist procedures. And in days of NASA, that was a piece of paper, and they actually physically went down it. But I did notice they got like a pad, an iPad-type device, which they were carrying, and that had all the checklists on. And it was very interesting that they took a visual sighting to make sure all valves were closed, not just relying on that wonderful technology. Do it eyeballing it, checking it physically. Good lesson to anybody out there, especially young people who are watching this. Don't trust the technology. Check it, and check it to make sure you're safe.
Interesting. Because, you know, technology can, even though it's very, very clever, it can sometimes make a mistake.
Well, pilots can rely on it, can't they? And it can cause accidents.
Early days of space flight, when there was indication on John Glenn's first orbital flight that the heat shield had probably there'd be a problem with the heat shield. And what they, because there was an indicator line saying that that it was separating, what was actually it was a faulty indicator light. So it was fine, but the indicator light was faulty. And of course, that makes you nervous then, but that's the point. And that's why something was very interesting about this mission. And people who watched the launch, it was fantastic, the number of cameras that were scattered around. You actually saw the engine bell as it heated up, as it was starting to fire. And that's something we've never had before, and it's something you really want. I always remember one of the astronauts was commenting that the shuttle was interesting, but they hadn't an opportunity to inspect their own spacecraft. Whereas normally when the pilots, they always have the opportunity to inspect the aircraft. They can look out the window. They can do a quick look out the cockpit. They can always have a quick look at the aircraft. They could do a flyover, somebody who would have a look at the aircraft to make sure everything was secure. They could never do that with the shuttle, and it was often said that was a real problem. I did notice with this spacecraft, however, that was very different. There are cameras all over it, so they can actually monitor and check every piece of this spacecraft. Mm.
It's always good to talk to you, Andy. Fascinating. And we'll talk again very soon. Is anything interesting on the horizon we might want to talk about in the not-too-distant future?
Oh, there's always something going on. Yes, we've got the missions, of course, the DART mission is looking good. We've got the launching, of course, of probes to Mars, which is getting very exciting. And we're building up for that because Mars is low in the sky in the mornings now. But as the year goes on, Mars, Jupiter and Saturn are going to be spectacular in the sky for everyone to look at. And, of course, we're sending probes to Mars to explore, to find out where...
It's a very exciting time, isn't it, where we're at the moment?
Well, in that case, we'll talk again in a couple of weeks, Andy, and there'll be even more to talk about.
Always, yeah.
All right, beautiful. Thanks, mate. Good to talk to you. Andy Lowndes, space expert.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
Good day, mate. Yeah, how you doing?
What's all that good day?
So, no, because we've got an Australian producer. He keeps rubbing off a bit.
Yeah.
Check these things. Make sure you're not a COVID idiot.
They're dogs. Is that okay?
Oh, that's a good... We'll check on that.
And how many of the thousands of ladies that wrote you did you meet?
I don't know. My wife might be listening to this.
I didn't want to go to the beach, but because of Dominic coming, I deliberately went down to the beach and flaunted myself next to lots of people and stuff. Imagine if you got the wrong test and you found out you're pregnant. Because you've got those ones, haven't you, where you put the line and line comes in the right place. And I've driven through a wheat field at night and the sheep were there and they look like their eyes light up at night. Did you know that?
Of course. So you went to the beach at the weekend?
I didn't really, no.
Well, why did you say you did?
Just to sort of spice up things.
Well,
you've set the dog off now, you see.
Yeah. You mention Iron Apple, they go mental. That was the clips for today, the worst of Whale, or sorry, the best of James Whale. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed them. Well, I suppose if you didn't enjoy them, you won't be listening, will you? Anyway, I'll be back 7 o'clock until 10, Monday to Friday, on Talk Radio. Have a great day. Thank you for listening.